But I think we all of us here would understand we're living in a different day. But, you know, the scripture says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, you don't need to go there, that the wind blows in a full circle. And could it be that the wind of God started blowing in the upper room? And God's blowing us back to the upper room. That the glory that God has ordained for his bride will get greater and greater and more glorious. The righteous will become more righteous. Evil will become more evil. We're living in an evil day. But Jesus is still Lord. But this is my heart. I believe with all my heart, we're headed toward a greater understanding and revelation of Jesus Christ himself. This is not about religion. It's not about can I do this or can I do that or do I have to do this. Or it's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to you this morning for a little bit about the wonder of his name. So just yesterday I thought, that's interesting to me. What about the word wonder? So I started looking for the meaning of the word wonder. It simply means it causes someone to marvel. That's the reason it's a wonder. But listen, that isn't all of it. That word means it causes us to marvel. But it also gives a revelation of a supernatural source. So I want to talk about the wonder of his name. Now, I want to read a number of scriptures, as you know I always do. But I want to set this up because I want you to see what his father said to us about his son. So go to Colossians chapter 1, in the beginning here, verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him," now hang on to these words, "it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." Now, jump over to chapter 2, look down at verse 9. "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead." Do you understand? Go with me to John chapter 1, verse 1. I'll read while you hunt, all right? "In the beginning," this is God's word, "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." There's the Trinity. The unexplainable in the natural. "All things were created through him." Through him who? The Word. Who was the Word? We'll find out in a minute. "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him," the Word, "in him was life, and the life was the light of men." In other words, the light of this world is the life of the Word, whoever that is. And then it says, "And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it." In other words, the life in the Word was the light that could not be overcome by darkness. If I were the devil, I'd turn down the light by the revelation of the life. And that's what I fear may have been happening, but I believe God's reversing the order. And then in verse 14, you know it well. "And the Word that was in the beginning," his pre-existence, "became flesh." Took on humanity. That Word took on humanity. And dwelt among us. Full of grace and truth. Jesus said to one of his disciples, I believe it was Philip. He said, "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For," now these are my words now, "for in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead." Now watch this. Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus comes in verse 13 into Caesarea Philippi. When he gets into Caesarea Philippi, he, with his disciples, he says, in verse 13, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, they began to speak up. Some say you're John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But who do you say? It always gets down to that. Well, this is what Grace House believed. This is what my wife or my husband believed. This is what my kids believe. But what do you believe? You can't be right with God on somebody else's relationship with Him. You can be influenced by it, but you cannot have a relationship with God through Jesus based on somebody else. It has to be personal. So, what did Jesus say to his disciples? I know what you say that others are saying, but what do you say? Well, Simon Peter, who usually would speak up, he answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. And I love what Jesus said. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed, underscore the word, this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, you don't know who I am by looking at me. It was another revelation from a spirit world that revealed to Peter who this man in whom the Godhead dwelt really was. Jesus said it. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You don't know that by looking at me because I look like you. I don't wear a halo. I am the Son of God, the Son of Man in human flesh. Well, that wasn't the end of the story. But I say to you, Simon Peter, upon the revelation of who I am, I'll build a church. A body, an ecclesia, and a family. I will build a church, an ecclesia, a governmental authority in the earth, and an oikos, a family, a relational people, but they are vertical through whom the kingdom will touch their world. I will build that kind of church on the revelation of who I am. And the gates of hell, I love it. And the gates, how many of you even know, you can't fight a war with the gate. So what did he mean when he said in the gate? The gate was where they sat in the gates and that was where they exchanged power and authority. That's where the decisions were made. I want to decree and declare in your life and mine and in this nation, there is a name above every name and hell will never, never, never overcome it. Hallelujah. Well, give the Lord a God bless you. Then he goes on to say, and then I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Because if you have the revelation of who I am, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Now, Pastor Ada did a whole series, a wonderful series on that. I believe every key is related to a promise. And every promise in Him is yes and amen. So if you find a promise, that's a key that will lock and unlock. You can lock it up and you can unlock it by the revelation of who Jesus is and what He's done and who He is in you. This is the gospel. So, when I look at that, I go, oh, Lord Jesus. Because when I go back in, you don't even have to turn there. When I go back in Colossians, this is what it says in chapter 1. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the image, the firstborn, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Do you understand? You're sitting in a room on a planet that's stuck out here in space. It isn't sitting on anything. It's just sitting out here. On what? The Word who is Jesus. What makes this thing turn around? What makes the sun come up? What makes the moon come out? What makes the, come on now, what makes the trees to bud and the birds to sing? I can tell you what makes, there is a name above all other names. And the wonder of that name makes it all consist. Everything consists because of Him. And watch what He said. For He, in last verse 18, He is to have the preeminence. That's a big word. I only know two. Gymnasium and mayonnaise, and I've learned preeminence. He is to have the preeminence. You know what that is? The first place. Watch this. In all things. That means when I go to church, first place. When I go to work, first place. When I go to school, first place. When I go to the grocery store, first place. When I go to a voting booth, first place. Wherever you go, there's a preeminence call on your life and mine. He, Jesus, the Lamb of God who lives in every believer, first place. You don't, listen, He doesn't have any competition. He don't want to be second. He is either number one, He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. You can't fit Him in. If you go to the beautiful country of India, they have their own list of gods. Unfortunately, many have gone and preached and had what they thought was great success. And all they did was just added Jesus to the list. You can't add Him. He is the list. Woo! You don't add Him. He is the list. And so, when I look at that, I go, Jesus, wow. I have to tell you, when I'm reading scripture now and I just start crying. Lord, that's right. That's real. That's more than ink on it, but that's real. That's what you said. And it's all about it. Everything will point to one person. He is the centerpiece of all humanity. Buddha won't get it. The Baptist won't get it. The Methodist won't get it. The Pentecostals won't get it. Charismatics won't get it. All of that may be good. But you can't get there or be right with God because of your relationship with an organization. You've got to be related to the living God through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Hallelujah. And you can be and I can be even here this morning. So, excuse me for getting excited because I've been excited about this a long time and it's getting worse. Pray for me that it'll get worse. My goodness. I mean, you know, when the Lord takes me home, I want the devil to say, I'm sure glad He's gone. Now, I got 3 points, but I want to build some things around it. Here's my first point about this name. The wonder of His name. First of all, it was heaven's command. The name Jesus was not a suggestion. Well, when you call Him John or Joseph or Peter or... No. Number one, it was heaven's command. I'll give you the scripture in Luke 1:31. And behold, the angel is talking. You will conceive in your womb, talking to Mary, and bring forth a son. Now watch this. This is the New King James. And you shall. He didn't say you ought to. You shall call His name Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now. Luke 2:21 says that heaven named Jesus before He was conceived in Mary's womb. It was heaven's idea. This man Jesus, that was a natural human name. The word Christ is the anointed one. This man in whom the fullness of God dwells, was the second Adam who would die on an old rugged cross for you and as you, would rise again after being put in the tomb for 3 days, would rise again and walk among us for some 40 days, and then go back to heaven, sit down at the right hand of the Father on the throne and rule and reign triumphantly. Listen to me, and I don't mean to offend you, but listen to me. Listen, the Marxists, the socialists, the communists, the Republicans, and the Democrats will all bow their knee to the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Washington can vote him out, but he's still the Lord. So heaven said, call his name Jesus, which basically means Joshua, or it means Savior, or Jehovah is salvation. So the name, the wonder of his name, first of all, was heaven's idea. Now, the second thing I want to say, heaven confirmed that name. Did you know when heaven does something, it has a confirmation? So you shall call his name Jesus. I love the story I heard years and years ago that, you know, when they took him for his bar mitzvah, as we would call it, and, you know, when they went back and had lost him and didn't know he was gone, and, you know the story. Well, some brother said it so well, I wish I could say it like him. He said, back there, the elders started questioning Jesus. Who are you, boy? He said, well, on my mama's side, I was born to Mary. On my daddy's side, I'm from eternity to eternity. They couldn't answer. Did you know they couldn't answer a little boy's questions because he was speaking by revelation. And God is calling a bride, the Lamb's wife, to rise up with a revelation of an understanding of who Jesus Christ really is. That in the days ahead, we can speak, thus says the Lord, this is who he is, this is what he's done, this is what he will do. And when we begin to decree and declare that and walk in it, we're going to see an awakening in this world like we've never known before. It's all centered around one person. It's all about Jesus. It's not about your gifts or my gifts. It's not about how much money you have or don't have. It's not where you live or don't live. It's about him. In him, we live and move, have our being. So heaven confirmed it. So I had to do that. Well, in the third chapter of Luke, and it's in other places, but for time's sake. Verse 21 and 22, when he was baptized, remember that in the Jordan, comes up out of the water. What happened? Heaven confirmed it. What did God say? He said in Luke, he said, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. How would you like to hear Father say that to you? You, he said to Jesus, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to me, the Bible says if you've been born again, not if you join the church, not if you just tried to get a little better and, you know, reform. I'm talking about you've been born again. The Bible said you are complete in him. There's nothing to be added. So he can't look at you without looking through the redemption of his own son. Confirmation. It happened again in Matthew 17, remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus stepped out of the natural over into that other dimension. Do you realize this morning, and I'm sure you do, do you realize that we're right now we're sitting in two dimensions? In the natural, I look at you. Come on now. But you know, I'm breathing something I can't see. I can't taste it. I can't feel it. But if I don't have it, I'll die. So actually, I'm living by an invisible thing called oxygen. And there is another dimension called the spirit dimension, and it's all around us. It's here. The angels are in this room. And when the atmosphere begins to adjust to the name of Jesus, things start happening. I mean, I've seen one time to this level. I've seen one time one person raised from the dead. And when that happened, I could hear the elements frying and cracking and popping because the glory of God was at a level I'd never known before. And a dead woman got up. I'm decreeing and declaring over our gathering. I say it again. Every atmosphere, every ounce of atmosphere, every molecule this morning, be filled with the presence of Jesus Christ the Lord. That the sick can be well, the lost can be saved, the backslidden can come home. Come on now. The discouraged can get up and shake it off and, yeah, I'm going on in Jesus' name. In that atmosphere, things happen. I'm telling you, things, and the Lord was present to heal. But that's the confirmation. Did it again in Matthew 17. But let me deal with the last one. Heaven commanded it. Heaven confirmed it. And then heaven put the period and called it heaven's conclusion. Let me give you two or three of those real quick. First of all, in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 9 through 11. You might want to turn over there because I will refer to it in a minute. Well, let me read it now. Since I've got there. Verse 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him, everybody with me, and has given him the name. Not a name. Now, if I looked out here at June and I said, she's a wife. That means I could have other wives. Of course, I'd be dead by the time I got home. But anyway, she's the wife. And when it says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him not a name, the name. There's not another. There's no place on this planet with anybody, any religion that has the name above all of the names but Jesus. Given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's what I want you to see. Now, the connection between heaven and earth is Jesus. Even in answered prayer, because the Father has bestowed upon Jesus, and then he has given it to us through Jesus, the power of attorney. And both of them, Vicky and Donna are sitting here. They have power of attorney over June and me. So if y'all want to buy a house or something, just talk to them. They have, now listen to me. They have the legal right to do whatever they wish with whatever we got our name on. You understand? That's the power of attorney. Now, when Jesus, come on now, when Jesus, in John 14, John 15, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that's the power of attorney. That's where faith can operate, in my name. Not something you can fix, not something I can fix, it's something I can believe. Whatever you ask, it's the connection between heaven and earth. In my name, you shall ask. Wow, that's too simple. That's the reason we stumble over it. You can't earn this in my name, said Jesus. You shall ask. Well, the second thing he said, that name has power over the devil. Mark 16:17, in my name you shall cast out demons. I mean, I've seen demons tremble. Not because of me, because I said to that demon, in the name of Jesus, come out of them, of that person. Well, I ain't never done that. Well, don't give it a try unless you know what you're doing, because things could go south. But I'm telling you right now, people ask me often, they go, well, what if they don't come out? They don't have a choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's given him the name above every name. At that name, every knee will bow. That demon's going to bow. If you speak that name in faith, it has to be released from that. It has to come out. I think I've told you this, but I briefly will just share. First demon I ever cast out that I knew it, this fellow showed up at our house, at the parsonage. This is back years ago, on the front porch crying. And he said, I need help. Well, So I said, come in, sit down. He sat down on the couch. I went in the back room. I said, Lord, what's wrong with him? I mean, you know, I was going to seminary, but they didn't teach demonology 101. I mean, how to cast out devils. I said, what's wrong with him? He said, he's got a spirit of anger. I said, a spirit? He said, yes. I said, what you want me to do? He said, cast it out. So I couldn't think of a man in our church that I could call and say, meet me down at the church. We're going to pray. I couldn't think of one. But I knew some women that were intercessors. So I called two of them. So you know, the Methodist altar. So I'm over here behind the altar. He's kneeling at the altar. There's a flower pot right here, a flower stand right here. And so two ladies came, and one of them was on each side of the man. And they said, what do we do? Well, I didn't know. I said, plead the blood. That sounded good to me. I'd heard somebody say that. Plead the blood. It's the truth. So they just start pleading the blood. Well, when they did, he went, a demon reacted. He was hard as this pulpit here. And he reached over and grabbed that flower stand. I thought, okay. I laid my hand on his back, right back here. I just laid my hand on, and I felt that demon fluttering under my hand. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of me. When I said that, I mean, he flinched like this and fell over that altar like I'd hit him and knocked him out. He was as limp as a dish rag, but a free man. Listen to me. The church don't need to depend on the police department to do what the church called to do. Cast out demons and raise the dead and heal the sick and win the lost. You've got to have an authority to do that, and that authority is the name of Jesus. Well, that was one of the things he said would happen. He said, in my name you can pray. You got power over the devil. In my name, power of attorney, you got power over sickness. You go, well, I know a lot of people that prayed and didn't get healed. I do too. And don't ask me how or why. I don't know, but I still pray for the sick. Because in Acts chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 16, you know, Peter and John's going to the house of prayer. And this lame man, been there for years and years and years, asking alms. Peter said, we ain't got no money. Now, that's Lauderdale translation. We ain't got no money. Silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I thee. That's old King James. That means if you can find somebody that's got a need, that wants what you got, you can give them what you got. If they can believe, they can receive it. And so Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Well, the man jumped up and healed. And you can get healed in the hospital. Ain't no problem. You get healed at church. People think you're nuts. Well, I don't care what they think. I'll take it any way I can get it. You get desperate enough, you'll take it at church too. But this, I know you believe that. And so the religious people started acting up because he got healed, got delivered. And they come back and said, this is how did this happen? Verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus. Wow. So sickness, power of attorney. Power of attorney. And I can give you testimony after testimony. Let's don't get discouraged about this healing thing. But let's keep our eyes not on healing. Let's keep our eyes vertically on Jesus the healer. Now if you get off of this other and start chasing, trying to get everybody healed without staying vertical with the Lord, it won't work out the way you want it to. Stay this way and just obey God. I think I've told you this, but the young man at Reading that went to what I think Walmart at 11 o'clock at night to get a dozen donuts, and while just checking out, the lady at the checkout had a hearing issue, and he said, may I pray for you? She said, yes. Well, he did. Well, the woman got healed. Well, she got healed. She must have been a real, like me, demonstrative type person. She's having a spell over on aisle 10. She just got healed. This is a new, I'm telling you, this is a new wineskin we're headed into. It's not about just gathering here. It's about gathering and getting built up and fellowship with one another. And the amen said, and you go to your world under the power of Jesus Christ and the word of God and in the name of, that's a new wineskin we're headed to. Well, I mean, and you know, she's, I don't know what all she's doing, but apparently he's said she was really having a time. So he said, ma'am, would you mind if I use, you know, that little thing they have? I need help over, you know, got a check or something. She said, sure. So he said, I got on that thing, started giving an altar call. And he said, I started moving in a word of knowledge. There's somebody here got a hip problem, and somebody got an. In a minute, he said, here's this gang of people coming over to aisle 10. You go, that's weird. It ain't weird. It's Christian. That's the church in operation. He said, I preached the gospel to him, prayed for him, got my donuts, went home. Can you imagine when he got home? Well, how was it at Walmart? Sit down. Let me tell you what God did while we were there. I'm telling you, stay ready. God is posturing you for the days ahead. Stay ready. Don't have to get fired up. Stay fired. Stay ready. So, in Philippians 2 and 10, I love this. Paul said that the name of Jesus has authority in three worlds. Heaven, we know that. Earth, do we know that? Under the earth, hell, full authority in hell, on earth, and in heaven. Three worlds. The name of Jesus has full authority. Wow. Maybe the best of the last in Acts 4:12. There is no other name. No other name whereby you and I can be saved but by the name of Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other way. Don't try to figure out a way. Don't try to fix it. Just come to him who's the fixer. If you don't know, you can. I remember just recently, Dutch Heath's book on the pleasure of his company. He got it, he said in his book from S.D. Gordon. He talked about Stephen. Stephen was a 14-year-old boy, and Stephen just decided he just wasn't going to go to school that day. But not only that day, he wouldn't go for 3 days. And the teacher called on the third day, and mom and dad said, I just wanted to check on Stephen. He hadn't been in school. Well, Stephen's found out now. So they call him in, and he had lied to them. And they said, Stephen, there is consequences to your sin. And here's what you're going to have to do for the next 3 days. You're going to have to go in the attic, and you will live in the attic. You will eat in the attic. You will sleep there until your 3 days is up for your sin. Of course, he complied. Afternoon went on, and supper time came, dinner. They sat down to eat their meal, mom and daddy, and Stephen is in the attic. Somehow or another, appetite didn't come. They just weren't hungry. All they could think about, Stephen in the attic. So they sat around the house for a while. Bedtime came, they went to bed, but sleep wouldn't come. All they could think about was, Stephen, maybe he's hurting, maybe he's lonely, maybe he's afraid, and they couldn't sleep. Neither of them could sleep, and at 2 a.m, finally Dad said, that's it. Mumbled a few words and grabbed a blanket and a pillow and goes to the attic. He got to the attic, and there was Stephen crying. He lay down beside him on his pillow. Stephen's tears and Daddy's kind of mingled together. But he said to Stephen, son, you were wrong. And I cannot take it for you, but I'll take it with you. A little over 2,000 years ago, if you can hear this, God crawled out of bed. Got his blanket. Got his pillow. Crawled in the attic. But he didn't go in the attic, did he? He crawled out of bed and crawled up on a cross and laid down his life. And Father gave him a name that hell would never overcome, that you and I would find hope and peace and life in that name. Is it any wonder he's easy to love? The more you can't love somebody you don't know. But to know him is to love him. I said this to a meeting some of us were in the other day, and please don't misunderstand me here when I say this. I got saved when I was 23 years old, but I want to testify that he's more real to me this morning than ever in my life. He's real. Jesus is real. He is the wonder. He's to be the wonder of our life. Jesus. Well, I'll end here. And then I want us to just take some time to minister. I love the, don't turn there, please. Just listen to Colossians 1, 15 through 18, where Paul said, by him all things were created. By him. Paul said, through him all things were created. Paul said, for him all things were created. Then Paul said, I've already stated it, but all things consist because of him. And then one day, wherever you were, you bowed your knee, ever how, and you opened your heart and invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And he who created all things brought the wonder of himself inside of you. Not religion, but a relationship. You know, June and I have been married a long time, and I'm not religious with her. I have a relationship to June. Jesus wants that with you and me. He wants a relationship that is intimate. That I love what Catherine Kuhlman said. He's more real to me than the air I breathe. Don't you want that? I do. The wonder of who he is. Would you know that scripture? And I know Wayne and I, back when sitting there, we both have won a number of people to the Lord with this scripture. I mean, you know, God will take whatever. And I've read that scripture to lost people since I got saved. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, and I will come in to him and fellowship with him and he with me. But that's not written to the world. That's written to a church. Jesus is saying to a church, I'm inviting you in. And I looked up the word, come and dine. The word dine there, fellowship. The word there is the primary meal of the day. I invite Jesus into the best of who I am. Wow. You know, if you go into the movie and you can't take him, stay at home. If the book you're reading, you can't read it with Jesus, don't read it. If what's coming out of your mouth, you wouldn't want to say it if he's standing there, don't say it. Let's learn. I think Vicki just read the book again. It's an old book I read years ago. Let's just practice his presence. wherever you are. And never lose the awe and the wonder of who he is. Now, the simple gospel is Jesus died as the second Adam for us, as us, rose again, sent the Holy Spirit to bring to us all he died to give us. Simple as that. Don't make it complicated. Religion will complicate it. Have you ever never left church and go, "Well, that was deep"? Probably it was confusing. The gospel is simple and can be understood and can be received and enjoyed. Here it is. Question. How many people in this building, if you died right now, I don't mean 5 minutes or tomorrow, next week, are you... How many people in this building right now, if you died now, I know I'd go to heaven. I know that. If you can't say yes, don't let pride or anything stop you. In a minute, just say, I want to know. What I honestly believe June got saved when I got saved. But the devil beat her up with doubt. Until that day I saw her come back from a revival meeting in the morning, and I'm sitting in the parsonage in a chair like this, and I watched her come in. She looked like the cat that ate the canary. I'm just smiling. I said, "What is it?" She said, "I know." I said, "What do you know, honey?" She said, "I know I've been born again." Hallelujah. How many know you can know it? How many people in this building? And everybody looking around. Just don't close no eyes. It depends on how much you want it. If I said, June and I have got a tub full of $100 bills and we're going to give $10,000 to everybody to raise their hand with your eyes open, would you lift your hand? I'd go, of course she would. Why? It's because I want it so much. I'm willing. I don't care who sees me. So I don't care. I want to know that I know that I know. Is there anybody, I know there is, whether you lift your hand, I don't know, but I can tell you there's a love in this house and a presence in this house in celebrating the wonder of his name that says, come. Don't join something, engage in a kingdom, in a relationship with a person. It's just, and you would say to the Lord, look, I want to know. Would you lift your hand? Oh, anybody in the back? I just want to know that I know. Anybody? I can't see you very well. There's one in the back. Anybody else? Listen. If you want to know. If you don't know, you can lose it. Never miss it. Because you didn't know you had to start with. Anybody else? Anybody else? How many in the building need healing in your body? And I'm going to begin to speak the name of Jesus. Brother, just stay standing, if you would. I'm going to speak the name of Jesus to you for healing. I need healing in my body. Would you stand up personally? This is to you personally. I need healing in my body. Stand up where you are. Would you? Just stand up where you are. It's okay. Praise God. Isn't this wonderful? It's not wonderful you need healing. It's wonderful that Jesus is here. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Anybody else? I have to do this because I can't see you with the light. So, I don't know who's in the back. Back there. Would somebody go lay hands on our dear brother back here? Mark, you're here. Would you do that? Yeah. Listen. Raise your hand, brother, so he'll know who you are. Don't wandle the hands up. I want you to put your hands out like this. Now, I just want you to see Jesus. Not me. Jesus. Just begin to focus your heart on Jesus. What did he do for you? Lord Jesus, You said in your word that all that came to you, it says, and you healed them all. Lord, I'm not here for one split second to tell you I understand everything, but I know this, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Lord, we began. Now, if you're not standing and you're seated, I want you to engage in releasing the name of Jesus. Just begin to, in faith, begin to speak Jesus into the atmosphere. You can do it at any volume you so choose. But just, I want you to just begin to speak the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Let every molecule be touched right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. I speak to you, be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to you to be healed and made whole. Begin to receive that. Just begin to say, I receive that. Well, I don't feel a thing. You don't have to feel a thing. This is about faith, not feeling. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Healing in Jesus' name. Miracles. There's some miracles need to take place. Creative miracles to restore some things. Father, in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Come on, everybody just start crying out, Jesus. Come on. And don't quit. Come on, just begin to say, Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, you are Lord. So Lord, thank you right now. Thank you for releasing your healing over this congregation. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Now, I just want you to, I'm just saying, and I want you to obey God. I just want you to, by faith, begin to say, I don't feel a thing, or you may feel something. But I begin to say, Lord, thank you that your word is true, and in your name I appropriate your provision for healing. Now, we're going to begin to worship in just a minute, and as you worship, I just want you to thank God that he touched you this morning. I don't care how you feel. Just step out in faith and say, Lord, thank you. Can you do that? Just step out and go, glory to God. I don't feel a thing. It don't matter what you feel. The word is true. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Now, here's what we want to do. I want the rest of us to stand up. Everybody, are we about ready to do something? Okay. And on the count of three, I want you to shout the name of Jesus, praise God, anything, as long as it's praise and faith release. And I want you to say it until I tell you to stop. All right? At least about 30 seconds. I just want you to, I mean, just get loose in the Holy Ghost. And just begin to say, I love you, Jesus, and I thank you for what you've done. Okay, when I say three, start, and I'll lift my hand when you're supposed to stop. All right? You may want to lift your hands as you do it. One, two, three, give him praise. A minute and then we'll go home. Alright? Now, if you need to tell somebody what God did, tell them. For you believe in the heart, you agree with your mouth. You nail it that way. Alright? You need to tell somebody, tell them before you walk out of this, I believe God touched me and I needed healing, I believe God touched me today. Tell somebody before you leave today. All right? Can we? All right. Let's worship together for a minute.
You are perfect.